ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 147 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I have a fun interview with James Tynion IV, who returns to the podcast to talk about Mimetic and the Woods from Boom Studios. He also talks a little bit about Batman Eternal, the great weekly comic he's doing for DC Comics. And he even gives his opinion of Gotham, that first pilot episode. So I'm sure you're going to want to listen. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I want to welcome back to the podcast James Tynion IV, creator of such good things as Mimetic, The Woods, and who has something to do with a little book that I take home every week called Batman Eternal from DC Comics. How are you doing today, James?
I'm doing just fine. It's a pleasure to be back on the podcast.
Always good to talk with you, and we got a lot to do with Boom Studios this time. I'm just kind of curious as to what is it about Boom Studios that drew you to them to do some of your books?
Honestly, a lot of it has to do with the staff that they have there. I think they have one of the best editorial teams in comics, and definitely one of the youngest and the most progressive, I think, in a lot of ways. And it's just like, these are great people who I get excited about the future of the medium when I sit down and talk to them. And they're so invested in not just building, you know, comics for today, but comics for 10 and 20 years from now. It's just a really, really great bunch of people. I love my editors there, Eric Harburn and Jasmine Amiri, and the entire editorial team. So that's what really drew me in and what's held me there. One of my favorite working experiences of my life, working with Boom, and I think I'm going to be hanging out with them for a good long time.
Well, that's good to hear, because I have bought a lot of Boom product over the years. And if you want something a little different, you know, a lot of people will go to Image, but some people don't realize that Boom also comes out with a lot of good and creative stuff. So it's nice to see that you're over at Boom and doing these good things there.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun.
All right, why don't we start off by talking about Mimetic, which is not pronounced Meme-tic, which we want to make sure people understand that. Now, this book is going to be coming out on, what, October 22nd?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, do you want to talk about what the book is about? It has to do with the internet, interestingly enough.
Oh, yeah. The core concept is, scientifically, mimetics is a cousin to genetics. But rather than how genes sort of travel through groups of people, it's about how ideas travel through groups of people. And that's where the word meme comes from, that, you know, we see used for little images posted around online. It's, you know, these are little ideas that then get spread around rapidly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anything's an idea. Anything's a meme. The idea of how to light a fire, that was one of the first memes that spread throughout humanity, and it helped humanity evolve to the next level. But one of the different things about contemporary society is now we have, through social networks and the internet, we have a world in which an idea can spread so quickly that we don't know whether or not it's a good idea or a bad idea, something that could help us or harm us. Because in the past, a bad idea would sort of fizzle out and die, but a good idea would go and last forever. But now we're at a point where if something dangerous snuck in and was spread around the world, something that could really hurt people, that it would happen before we could stop it. You know, in the most basic terms, this is the story of an image that is posted online one morning that leads to the end of the world in 3 days. It's an apocalyptic horror story. Each issue is oversized, 32 pages, 3 issues, each issue covering 1 day closer to the end of the world.
Well, that's kind of a challenge, isn't it? Because if you're going to be, you know, most people want to buy the $2.99 or $3.99 books, but this is a $4.99 book, and it's coming out 3 months in a row, as I understand it. And each one is a separate day. Was there a reason why you went with that different format?
honestly, it's how I conceived the series. And one of the things that made me really happy is that Boom was willing to try something a little outside the box and experimental and give me the room to tell the story the way I felt it needed to be told. And that was ultimately the most important thing for me. And that's why I did the project with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, my understanding is you've got two main characters involved with it. And of course, we're going to actually get to see what the meme is in the book.
Oh, yeah. The meme actually, and it's been posted around online. You know, we posted it up around when we announced the series. It's a strange image of a sloth giving the thumbs up in front of a strange spiraling background.
Mm.
You know, something very eerie, but also very much in the context of memes that are published in and around online. But the main characters of the series are sort of two different focal points for the apocalypse. And one of them is our sort of everyman, a young gay college student named Aaron, who has, you know, difficulties in terms of he's a monochromat. He actually only has one cone, a visual cone, so he doesn't see the full visual range of colors. And then you have Marcus Shaw, who has macular degeneration. So he's become progressively blind over the last few years and now can barely see anything. And that's sort of where we enter this world. They're through these two people who are sort of on the outside of society who then are going to be forced to bear witness to everyone around them being sucked in by this meme.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was kind of curious you didn't put a cat in the meme, because the cat is the big thing on the internet as far as memes go.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I want it to be a little outside the box with where we approached it.
That's good, because I've seen enough cats, thank you very much, as far as that goes. Now, are these two people, are they physically near each other? Because it's only going to be in 3 days. It sounds like they'd have to be so they can interact.
The characters actually in the three issues do not interact. This isn't two lines of story that come together. This is a story that expands out from the two of them to show the full world. They each have different stories tracking through the end of the 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Now, understanding from what I've read interviews you've done in the past, and when you look at the meme, you get some sort of wave of euphoria that goes through the entire body, and it doesn't matter how many times you look at it, you still get the same feeling every time.
Right.
That's kind of an interesting way to go about that, because, you know, visually what happens normally in the body is you see something, and every time you see it, you get a little less response out of something.
Yeah, and this is something that the fact that it's so constant, the fact that it's unrelenting in delivering that kind of pleasure is part of the horror here. We as a people, like, if we see something, it makes us laugh, it makes us want to show our friend. But if you take that to the furthest extreme of that idea and make it just so overwhelmingly positive, you're going to share it to everyone you know, and it's going to feel important to you to spread it to everyone you know. And that's really the thing that drives it to become as widespread as it does before it starts turning against everyone.
Mm-hmm. Now, the artist on this book is somebody that you've known for a while. Is this his first comic, or is this one of his very first comics?
This is one of his first comics. His name's Eric Donovan. He did a story with me in the Dark Horror anthology that came out in April of this year. And he also has been doing a series on Thrillbent with me and my friend Noah Yunkel called The House in the Wall. And so I've been working with Eric now very consistently for a year, and I've just been very, very pleased with how his work has been progressing. And just I think his stuff is so expressive and human that I absolutely love it, and I love working with him. So it felt like a perfect fit for this series to bring him on. And he's just been absolutely incredible working on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, in some senses, you've kind of given away the plot, though. If by the end of 3 days, the world is destroyed. Is that sort of a lead that it looks like it's destroyed, but that you've got some other surprises in mind for us?
Well, I mean, you'll have to read it and see. But this is, you know, this is part of it. You know, horror is very much about the journey. This is something where it starts happening and it keeps happening. This is a relentless story, and it's a very bleak story. But there are definitely lots of twists and turns in where it goes. So I'm very pleased with the final project, and I think that it's definitely going to make some people think a lot, especially as it reaches its end.
Well, you know, the internet has been accused of rotting people's brains, and maybe your book will prove that.
We'll see.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a really gripping story, especially to those of us who spend a lot of time on the internet. Now, why don't we go ahead and get to the book that you have out currently? It's called The Woods, and it has to do with the high school. And you mentioned once before when I talked with you that you have a fondness for characters who are younger. And so I saw that a lot in The Woods. And as we're speaking, the fifth issue has come out, and the first trade of the first four issues have been collected. Do you want to talk a little bit about how this came to be and what your concept is with The Woods?
For people who are not familiar, The Woods is about a high school that's transported into the middle of an alien forest with no sign of what brought them there or why or how to get home. And it's the story of the deterioration of society in that forest and also the journey of discovering what the world is and how they might get home. So at this point, now we are approaching issue number 6, sort of halfway through the second arc. And yeah, this is like this story, the way I came to it is this is a distillation of everything I wanted to do in comics. It has young characters. It deals with horror. It deals with science fiction. There are elements of fantasy even. And it all sort of comes to a head in a very singular way. And this is the story that I feel is most me. Like, it represents my personality the most across all the different characters and the themes of the story. Yeah, The Woods is very much my, like, special baby. I love this series very much.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting, when The Woods starts out, the very first page we see of the story, it shows several people with their eyes kind of glazed, looking kind of yellowish. And one of the people from the school is standing there, and he says, I know exactly what I have to do. And then, of course, the next page we get to the two girls who are there at the same school, and they say they have no idea what to do. So that's an interesting comparison between the two. I have to say, of the people in there, I relate most to that character. His name is Adrian Roth. Got a kick that his introduction thing says he knows he's smarter than the rest of these idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's on the computer. Nobody else is in the computer room except him, except the one guy comes in to talk with him. And it looks to me like there are a lot of these characters that are very, if you've ever been to high school, you know full well what this stuff's all about. Like Ben Stone, he's a football player lookalike kind of guy, but he doesn't necessarily want to go with it.
Right.
And you've got all these different characters, Isaac Andrews, and you've got the principal, and it feels like a regular high school, pretty much. Was that the idea? Was that to make this as close to a realistic high school as you could?
Oh, totally. Like, I wanted it to have that core of truth running through it. But at the same time, I also wanted each of the characters definitely reflects certain aspects of myself and parts of my personality that I needed to develop and the ways in which I needed to, like, run into conflict when I was in high school in order to develop into the person I am today. And that's sort of the core metaphor of The Woods, is sort of exiting something very safe where you feel like you're ready for what comes next and going out into what comes next and realizing that you actually have no idea what you're doing and no idea how to cope with the woods or life. But that's more the high-end version of it. It's also a very literal problem that they're all dealing with.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that when I read the book, that this was sort of kind of a parable in some sense about real life. That's really interesting about that. Now, what happens is we get to the end of the fourth issue, and I would never say who, but one of the characters actually meets their demise, which surprised me because, you know, I that was the kind of a person I was hoping would stick around and would be able to provide some advice as things went forward. But now I really feel like they really are on their own. They're apparently on an alien world, and you've also introduced another group of characters that kind of fascinate me. Are the people who have come around, they appear to be human, they seem to speak English with them. Are these the ones, the hunters, that were we're going to learn more about?
Oh, we're going to learn lots more about the hunters and where they came from and what their story is and all of that. But we're now building towards answering some of the big questions about what this world is. And going back to the Mayan temple we saw in the first arc, and, you know, now we see these hunters here. Like, what is this place, and where is it going to go from here? Because it's going to go some pretty crazy places. And that's one of the big things, is in my writing, I definitely want there to be turns that people don't expect as often as I can. Anytime that you feel like, oh, this is the new status quo, that's when I want to rip it away and suddenly take things in a whole new direction. And it's also why each arc has a slightly different format. Like, the second and third arc don't have the same sort of flashes back to what's happening at the school, although we'll definitely be catching up with that, and there's still presence of those characters in the book, but it's much more, like, the book's going to do different things in each kind of story. So, yeah, that's part of what the series is to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty cool. One of the things I noticed right off the bat when I was reading the first issue was that Adrian's glasses, you know, I mentioned before that everybody's eyes seem to be somewhat yellow. His glasses weren't yellow. They were sort of whitish until the high school gets moved. And then every time after that we see his glasses, they're kind of yellowish. And so I have to kind of wonder if he's not one of the reasons why this is taking place.
Well, that's an interesting theory, but, you know, he definitely has some kind of connection to this world, and we'll be exploring the extent of that connection over the course of the first year.
Mm-hmm. And I like, too, that it's a regular high school until this stuff's going on. It's not like it's some strange high-intellect school. It's a regular school.
Yep.
These kids are regular kids, and so it's easy to relate to them. I also really like the coach. The high school, like, he's a football coach, I think he is. And he's also very much, there's something, I guess, about being a leader when you're in charge of teenagers and stuff. You kind of have this natural impulse to lead, and he actually gets into trouble because of that.
Yeah.
So we're down the part. And I really, really like that about that, because he's, you know, these are real people to me. These are people that if you walked into any old high school down the street, you might actually find all these people there. And that's what I think makes this such a gripping book, is because of those kinds of things.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm glad that you see it that way. And that's definitely, you know, one of the big things that I was trying to do with it.
Now, I also get a kick that they're starting to already acclimate to their surroundings. One of them takes on a pet.
Oh, yeah.
That he calls Dr. Robot?
Yep.
Which is kind of fun.
A lot of fun. Like, that's something, because everything in that forest is so terrifying. And even, you know, I don't think we, like, there's definitely more to learn about what Dr. Robot is as we move forward. But this is, you know, it's an evolving story and an evolving world. And these are teenagers, and they're going to try to find comfort in whatever they can to try to feel some kind of normalcy in the midst of all of this insanity.
Mm-hmm. I'm finding it fascinating that it seems like you have this whole thing plotted out as far as, you know, how long the story will go and how, you know, which characters survive and which ones don't. When you came up with this whole concept, did you have an idea about how long you wanted the story to run?
Absolutely. In my head, this is 36 issues. It's 3 years, 3 books, each year telling a complete story, but building towards the big end game. And there's a lot of space to cover between now and the end. And, you know, there is a huge design, and that design shifts from time to time as I'm building the story. But right now, this is what the story is. That is how I see it.
Okay. So we're not done meeting people or things on the alien world, are we yet?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Not even close.
Okay, so that'll be good, because it's going to be fun. You know, in some senses, this is kind of horror mixed with science fiction, in the sense that you've got these creatures and other people there. I mean, obviously those other people have gotten there before the school did, and have been there for a while, so we have to find out what's all about them, and then you've got the other creatures and things happening. So it feels like this world, there's a lot to explore.
Yeah, oh yeah. We have only barely scratched the surface of what this world is.
Wow, very cool. Well, you've got a lot of depth to what's going on into the characters, so I'm really anxious to see where the woods goes from here. It's just, it's going to be great fun. I highly recommend people, if you haven't already gotten the trade and the fifth issue, you'll be caught up if you catch up, get those. Did you know when issue 6 is coming out?
It's actually coming out this upcoming Wednesday. The book typically comes out the first week of every month,
okay.
So first Wednesday of the month. Yeah, this upcoming Wednesday, if you know.
So in other words, You could go to the store and you could pick up the trade, the fifth issue, and the sixth issue this week. So that would be a good thing to do with all that good stuff. So it's just a great story. It's great fun. There's horror, and yet there's a lot of humor involved with it, too, which makes it a very real thing. And I that's one of the things I like about your writing, is that you mix those things together. It's a nice blend. It's not just horror in one sense, but it's also very human in that. So I like that as well.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Okay, so that's The Woods. Now, those are the two Boom Studio books. Now, I wouldn't be much of a Batman fan if I didn't ask you about Batman Eternal, another book that you have something to do with. I'm a big Batman fan. As we talked before, we talked a lot about the fact that how much Batman means to me. And it's so much fun what you guys are doing in Batman Eternal. Every week to know that I'm going to the store and I'm going to come home with a good Batman book just always makes my week.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, I'm working with an incredible team of writers and artists, and we've been planning this now. We're approaching a year from when the first issue was written. So, and right now we only have a handful of issues left to write in the full 52 issue storyline. So it's like we're reaching the end, but you guys are just reaching the middle. And there's so many big, crazy moments to come. I can't wait for you guys to see them.
It's going to be great fun. Now, I've got to ask you, too, because, you know, we talked about the Internet and how it can be death on the Internet. And, of course, the Internet is a great place to pick up rumors and things that are not necessarily true. And so there's a couple of things I've been reading out there that just make me laugh sometimes when I read them and make me wonder. I was reading somewhere that Batman Eternal might actually take a break and then come back. Is that possible?
I mean, that anything's possible. Right now, all that, you know, we're very focused on the 52 issues that are laid out right here, and we're working hard on here. But I think we've said from the very beginning that the process of working on this story has actually been so much fun. And if we were to do, you know, another story in this mold, I think we all have a few ideas that we've been kicking around of what we'd want to do with that. So anything's possible. There's nothing on the books right now. There's no, like, announcement coming around the corner, but I know this has been a big success for DC, and the readers seem to be still be rooting for the series. So yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that were to happen.
At this point, because it's been a couple of weeks, it's been a big reveal that Hush has been involved with this story. And I've read some people online make me laugh out loud who say, why didn't they say Hush was involved in this sooner? And I said, well, that was kind of my reaction. Why should they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've got a whole year to tell this story, and here's this wonderful stuff going on, and there's a character we haven't seen for a while. So when I saw him being involved with it, I was like, oh, that's great. And then all these people, well, not all, some people got out there and said something about the fact that they couldn't understand why it was now that they're suddenly revealing the Hushes out there. And I said, because it's a good time to do that.
Yeah, like this is the turning point between the first act and the second act of the story. And this was the moment for that reveal. Yeah, just knowing the full shape of the story. Like, yeah, of course we could have laid out all of the different key players and mysteries of the series. And, you know, for those readers out there, I have a secret for you. There are lots more big reveals and crazy things that are coming. And no, we're not going to tell you what they are at number, you know, 26 out of 52. We've got a lot of room left to cover, and it's going to be a really wild ride and do a lot of crazy things. So, yeah, stay tuned, but it's going to be we're building a different kind of Gotham in this series, and that takes a lot of work. And, yeah, there's just a lot of story left to come.
Well, be ready when these other big secrets get revealed. There's going to be people going out there saying, why didn't they reveal this sooner?
What we should have done is with issue number one, just released a whole, like, here are all the secrets and the issues that happen. And, you know, because it's not like we want suspense or twists or anything in a comic book. No, you just want everything you expect to happen to happen.
I still laugh when I think about it. But to me, you guys are doing such a good job of storytelling. You know, the whole business with Gordon and the shift over to a different commissioner who's not necessarily in Gordon's vein. All these different things going on, the introduction of James Corgan and the Spectre coming in. You know, it's a nice place for Batwing to go now that his book's been kind of canceled. And so there's a lot of wonderful stuff going on in this title that I'm really enjoying. And you're right, it's an evolutionary process for the city of Gotham. And I'm just fascinated to see, especially being Batman's 75th anniversary, you know, what you guys have in mind and where this is going to go from here. It's just, it's been a fun book every week. And, you know, it doesn't bother me if you shift over to the Spectre one week and you're over in Batwing on another week. And some people complain, why isn't Batman every single week the main character? Well, it's you know, this is the Bat family kind of involved. And in order for these characters to grow and for the city and everything to change and move around, you've got to do those kinds of things. But, you know, it's even the Batman book doesn't always completely focus on Bruce Wayne every time.
Yeah. And you need, like, when you have the cast of Gotham City, you need to use the cast of Gotham City and do something big. Batman is the main character of Batman Eternal, but we wanted to dive into all of these smaller characters and tell those stories that we wouldn't necessarily have the time to tell in just 20 pages a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, Batman Eternal for me is a good reason to get to the bookstore every week because, you know, some people wait and once a month they'll go in and they'll pick up their stuff, but I can't wait that long. I've got to find out what's going on. I need to know what's happening. And I think Batman Eternal is one of those great weekly books that I think is going to be an example of if you want to do a weekly book, this is how you do it.
I really appreciate that. You know, it's been a lot of work, but yeah, this has been just an absolute pleasure to work on. So,
of course, it must happen occasionally that when you're running up against a deadline, you've got to pull everything together sort of at the last minute. Has that happened a time or two? Have you guys got this thing plotted out so far in advance that you don't have to, you know, you don't worry about coming up against, bumping against a deadline towards the, as it approaches?
There really haven't been any of that. Like I said, we wrote the first issues of Batman Eternal last October. So that right now, even though the last issue doesn't come out until first week of April, that issue will be written by mid-November. And then we're done. Like, we're completely done. So we are well ahead of those deadlines. Like, sometimes, just because of the nature of everything, we get a little tight here and there and, you know, last-minute lettering, whatnot. But, you know, that has not been the norm. I mean, earlier in the year, we sort of realized that the second arc of the story could be much stronger if we tweaked certain elements of it. Mm-hmm. So we went back and we like did the equivalent of rewriting like three full issues that had been written for 2 months, and it didn't put us behind deadline because that's how ahead we were. So and those are decisions that were made not because of any kind of mistake or brouhaha. It was just we decided that. Like, we realized after the fact, hey, this part of the story could be so much better if we just moved a couple pieces around, and we almost sat down in a room and agreed, yeah, that would be freaking awesome, and that's what we did, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's encouraging because, you know, should Batman Eternal 2 ever come around, you guys already have the schedule and how to make this thing happen pretty well down to a science. So that encourages me that Batman Eternal 2 may yet come to pass.
Oh, well, we will just have to see.
Okay. Now, I've got to ask you this just because you're a Batman guy and you know Gotham City probably better than most people. I was just curious as to what you thought of Fox's Gotham, because I really enjoyed the show. Some people have their criticisms of it. It reminded me very much of Gotham Central, which I always loved. I thought was a great thing. And I just thought, as a Batman fan, you know, some people are complaining that Batman's not going to be in it, so why bother? And stuff like that. But for me, it's called Gotham for a reason. It has to do with the city. And it has to, like, just like with Batman Eternal, you've got the city and the family of Batman going around involved with it. And so I like it. I was just kind of curious what your opinion of it was.
I enjoyed the pilot a lot. I think it, you know, all pilots of, you know, even the greatest TV series have a little hiccups here and there. And there were definitely a few, like, moments in it, but the things that were good were really good. I really like the character Fish Mooney. I really, really like the way they're building up the Penguin, and the actor playing him I think is perfect. Donald Logue is someone who I loved from his work on Terriers, and to see him as Bullock as a very central figure, even just to see figures like Crispus Allen and Renee Montoya sort of taking center stage, like those are things that make me really, really happy as a Gotham geek. So, yeah, that makes me feel good, and I'm happy the show's out there. I can't wait to see what else they do with it. Definitely its own little take on Gotham City, and I really hope that they find that core voice and tell an amazing story. Because if they pull that off, it just brings more people to Gotham, and I'm always down for that.
Well, I always worry that there's going to be too much Batman. At some point, the air is going to go out of this balloon, but it doesn't seem like it to me. But as long as the stories are good and you guys are doing a good job with it, I don't see any reason why this should slow down or, you know, not keep going with all the stuff like Arkham Manor and Gotham Academy and all these other things coming up. That Gotham City is a very busy place with you guys involved.
Oh, yeah. there are lots of stories to tell in Gotham City, and part of the goal of Eternal and even Batman Endgame, which I've been working on the backups for with Scott, these are stories that are designed not just to, you know, like, be great tributes to Batman at the 75th anniversary, but really shake things up in Gotham to make a Gotham City that's different in ways that basically make it impossible not to tell new stories. We don't want to retread old ground. We want to be doing entirely new, fun, and different things. And I feel like we have that opportunity and that we're doing that.
You guys are doing a great job, as always, and I'm always really thrilled to see Batman, you know, not to be punny, but soaring high as he is with all you guys doing it. It's so great what you guys are doing, and I just hope you keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, are there other projects you're working on? I was reading in one of the interviews you said there was some projects going to come out like a year from now that you couldn't talk about at the time you were interviewed. Are there other things that you're working on as well?
Oh, yeah. There are lots of things that are sort of happening behind the scenes that I can't really talk about. The stuff that has been in one-shot things, I'm in the Bravest Warriors Paralyzed Horse special for Boom Studios, which just came about because I love the Bravest Warriors cartoon, and I literally just told the editors at Boom, like, I want to write one of these comics, let me do it. And, you know, I have that coming out. I have an issue of Amazing X-Men, just a one-shot fill-in issue there. And then I have one of the one-shots tied into the Logan Legacy, the aftermath of Death of Wolverine, the issue that's going to focus on Mystique, and that'll come out in December. I also have a two-part story for Sensation Comics, the new digital Wonder Woman story, and I'm working with an amazing artist I can't talk about just yet, but when people hear who I'm working with, like, her stuff's just freaking amazing, and I could not be more excited about working with her on this. And yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff to come, and I'm sort of building up what the next couple of years are going to look like for me, and there's just a lot to come, so...
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear all that, and I wish you much success continuing going forward. And keep up the great writing and keep telling the good stories, because we're all out here dying to get them. Can't wait to read them.
All right. Thank you very much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And that's it for this week. The landmark 150th episode is only a few weeks away, so be sure to stay tuned and listen. But until then, keep reading your comics.
It's over, Joker.
Over? Why, my dear delusional Dark Knight, it hasn't even begun.